So I've titled my message, which I just wrote this morning, Don't Worry. Don't Worry. It's a funny thing, this, isn't it, to talk about? Because I think we've got on one scale, you've got something that's pretty serious. There's some people that have actually died, you know. And that's sometimes hard to get a handle on because it wasn't someone we knew. But your picture changes completely if it's someone you know or someone in your family. So this is dangerous, you know. On the other side, we don't want to be over fearful. We don't want to stop laughing. See, you're all too serious. see, we've got to try and find where do we stand. And in some circles, you've got to stand here. And others, come on, some of you need to laugh more. It's affecting you. So I thought I'd do and just speak from it. I did it in staff meeting the other day, and I was wondering why I did this message in staff meeting, and I realized it was for this morning. So Philippians 4 verse 6. So I have changed places on where I'm going for the guys about. Philippians 4, you got your Bible? You need your Bible. You're going to need your Bible. You got your Bible. Okay, you're going, oh, it's all right, I've got it on my phone. Yeah, okay, turn off all the Wi-Fi, put it on airplane mode. Okay, there you go, you got it. Let me read to you Philippians 6 verse 7. You ready? Philippians 4, that's not it. That's not it. No, that's not it. That's it. It's way down the bottom. Way down the bottom, because I've just swapped my notes. That's what you can do. Let me read it to you. Don't look at this. Oh, look, there it is. Don't worry. See, it's in the Bible. Don't worry about anything. And I look, you know, there's one thing here that's the elephant in the room that a lot of people worry about, but there's a whole lot of other things to worry about as well. But the Bible says, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Instead. So instead, pray about everything. Pray about, do you pray about everything? Or do you just pray about the big things in your life? Do you pray about everything? Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Great verse. It's your memory verse for this week, okay? I like it in that version, but you can go find another version and memorize that because it's an amazing word. Don't worry. I've got four stages of prayer. The first stage is the worry stage. We all have things that we worry about. We all have things that worry about. Financial worries, worried about your parents, worried about your kids, worried about your job, worried about school, worried about your results, worried about, oh, there's so much to worry about. We can go all day just listing all the things you can worry about. But the Bible says don't worry about anything. What is it that you're worrying about this morning? What is it that gets on your mind that suddenly you're concerned about? Don't worry about anything. The first stage is worry. And look, worry is an indication that you need to pray. It's a reminder. It's a catalyst. Oh, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about what this person thinks. I'm worried about this situation. That's the trigger. Oh, great. I can pray here. Because if I'm gonna worry, well, see worry's a waste of energy and space and time. It's a waste. You can't do anything worrying. It drains your body of all your hope and it just saps the life out of you. Have you ever sat there listening to someone who's telling you all their worries? Oh my goodness. It's just like garbage dumped on you. Wow, I'm worried. You know, you sort of need to put up your umbrella and go, I don't want that. I don't want to worry. Now they're true, they are worries, they're things to be concerned about. Like I say, you've got to be serious about it. You also got to smile a little bit about it. But you've got to have faith. Why don't you need to worry? Why don't you need to worry? Because the second stage is that you can tell God. I mean, get the picture of that. The God who created the whole universe, the God that holds the world in his hand, the God that sent his son to die for you, the God that loves you, is willing and wanting to hear what you've got to say. He's wanting you to pray. And he's going, come on, you got these worries? Ask me, tell me. Don't just sit there. Tell me, tell God what you need. It's simple. You got to worry, I got to tell God. And then it goes, next thing it says, tell God what you need and then thank him for all he's done. Well, there is so much to think about. There's so much for us to thank. Thank goodness that we live in the bottom of the world. Thank goodness we're isolated for once in our lifetime. Thank goodness. Thank goodness we've got a great health system. Thank goodness that we can wash our hands and we've got that stuff you can put on your hands. That messes with my head. I'd still rather wash my hands, really. Thank goodness. Thank goodness you're alive. How many people had breakfast this morning? Oh, thank you, Lord, we had breakfast. Amen. Thank God. There is so much for us to thank. And you sort of, if you magnify your worries, you minimize the good things that you can be thankful for. Yeah, right. If you maximize and increase your thankfulness, you minimize the worries in your life. Start thanking God. Thanking God. And then there's the peace of God. For me, this is prayer, is a stage as it goes around. I'm worried, so I go to God and I tell him, God, I'm worried about this. I might grab some promises that he's got around this situation and I'll start speaking. Thank you, God, that your promise, your word says this. And then I'll wait. Have I got a peace?
Yeah, nice.
No, I'm still worried about it. Okay, let's go back. Tell God. And you know, look, sometimes we have a peace. You know, sometimes you finish praying for something, you got a peace, and then 10 minutes later you're driving in your car and you suddenly realize, man, I'm thinking about that thing again. I'm all worried about it. You've moved back to this stage here. And so what do you do? No, I'm going to pray. I'm going to tell God about it. I'm going to thank God that he's going to answer my prayer, and I'm going to get peace. Peace. I think it's a cycle that we keep going through. It becomes your default process when something happens and you've got something to worry about. Yep. You go, this is my opportunity to pray. Awesome. That's why, you know, look, I think it was Paul that said pray without ceasing. Why was that? Because he had a lot of things that were going wrong all over the place. So he was always going back to God, man, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to pray about this. God, I did it. Thank you, God. I mean, and he would start singing. Why did Paul and Silas end up singing in the prison? Because they were going through this. They started off worrying, sitting there in jail, going, "Oh no, what's happened? Oh, my back hurts." They've been whipped. How many people got whipped today? None. So you're okay. They'd start telling God, and then they would start thanking. Some of you need to, oh, that sounded good suddenly. Some of you need to put some music on, thankful music, right. Worship. On, worship's one of the best ways to start thanking.
Yeah, that's right.
Favorite, put some worship on, thanking God. Get the song into your heart, into your mind. Who cares if you can't sing? Nobody, just sing. In your car, put worship on. If you're worrying in your car, then change it. Go, no, I'm going to start worshiping. I'm going to start praising God. I'm going to change my list. What's it called? Your playlist. Change your playlist to thankfulness.
Yeah.
And then the peace of God. So you know you've got the peace of God when it affects not only your heart, but your mind.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the peace of God that guards your heart and your mind. You see, what happens to us is that our mind starts rushing and thinking about things and making things at times bigger than they need to be, especially at night. You're lying in bed and suddenly you start going down these lines of thinking. And you've got to capture every thought. You've got to capture your thoughts. You've got to capture what you say, because what you say is based on what you think. What you're thinking is what you say. Capture those thoughts and start going, okay, why am I thinking this? Why am I thinking this? I'm worrying, I'm concerned. God, I'm going to pray. Your default should be you pray. And then you'll have a peace. I love the peace that God gives. It is beyond understanding. It doesn't make sense. Imagine if all the Christians, as they navigated through life, were always known because they had a peace. A peace in their heart and in their mind. You know, when you've got a peace in your mind, you think way clearer. When you haven't got peace in your mind, you're all over the show. And you make dumb decisions. And you say dumb things. They allowed to say dumb. But when you got peace in your mind, you make very clear decisions. You think through what you're going to say. You see, I want the peace of God. I think we should, as Christians, should all live with peace. Yeah, things come in our lives. And look, this thing's coming all the time. You know? One week it's this look, and another week it might be something else. It'll keep coming. The media will keep bringing you things to worry if you don't.
Yeah, that's right.
If you go, it's all right, Alan, I've got no worries in the world, well then turn on the TV, they'll try and help you worry again. Don't worry. Do you know every worry is an opportunity for God to move? Every worry is an opportunity. The peace of God. Some of you need to actually stop listening to the news. Turn off your Twitter thing, your Facebook. Stop reading some of that stuff. A billion posts. A billion posts about one thing. I wonder how many of them are right and how many of them are wrong. And it just starts to weigh on your mind. Some of you, you've got to sort of turn that off and go, I'm going to stop listening to that. The enemy wants to take away your peace. He wants you anxious and worried. He wants you to be doing silly things, and he wants to stop you. You know, this is a virus is from the enemy. There's no doubt about that. Sickness is from the enemy. God doesn't want anyone to be sick. Any sickness is from the enemy. So you pray against it, that's for sure. So what else have you got? You got Psalms. Get some Psalms. I'm going to give you some Psalms because I think some of you need to start reading some Psalms every morning. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. 91. Everybody say 91. Because I'm reminding you this week, you need to read Psalm 91. And just so you get it, I'm going to read it to you. Okay? Psalm 91, verse 1. Oh, look, it's a great one to memorize as well. Okay? Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. He's the one who's going to look after you. My place of safety. He is my God. I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Oh my goodness, it's right there in the Bible. He will protect you. See, if you got fear and you're worried about it, then pray and then thank God for the psalm. Sorry, I spat. Just as well, you guys are miles away. Got to be kept. They've put a bigger gap just to keep everybody safe. Psalm 91, verse 3, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers and he will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. What do they protect? They protect your mind. I gave a word to a couple of girls this week at our gym. I don't even know if, well, I'm pretty sure they're not Christians, but I don't know. I just gave them a word. And one of the ones I gave a word to, I said, look, you change the room. She's got a great, she's very happy and always looks smiling. And I said, you've got a great, when you walk in the room, you light up the room. But I could see a cloud forming. And I said, this cloud is a thought that if you continue to entertain that thought, it's going to rain on your world. And as I was standing there before, I felt that is for some of you, the word for you. She was funny. She went, oh, I'm going to cry. And I thought, I've got to go now. I'm off. I'm not very good at doing crying. But look, that's what the enemy wants to do. He starts a cloud, a negative thought. My marriage isn't going to work. Negative thought. You start entertaining that cloud, you cause it to grow. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to fail here. I'm going to do this. My business is going to go bad. Nothing good's going to happen for me. They're clouds. Yeah. And if you build them, the more you think about them, the bigger they get, till suddenly they're raining on your day. You go, exactly, this is just what happened to me. Capture the thought. Capture it. Go, hold on, this is a worry. I'm going to get out of a hold of it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get someone to pray with me. There's huge power in getting someone to pray with you. In fact, this year, one of my things to people is you need to pray with someone more. You need to have someone you pray with. If you only ever pray by yourself, that's great, but I'm encouraging you need to get someone to pray with. My prayers are way better when I pray with someone else. It's just something about, man, you get spurred up and they start praying with faith. Because I don't know about you, sometimes with your own situations, you're so stuck in them, they look so bad. You are really struggling to see the things to be thankful for. But someone else from the outside starts going and praying and thanking God and singing. And you, if you pray with the right people, you come out of the prayer meeting going, man, I'm okay. Yeah. I can do this. Yeah. If you come out feeling worse, change the person you pray with, okay? If you come out going, oh my goodness, the world's falling down, the sky's falling on my head. That's a good story. We could all read that, couldn't they? The sky is falling on our head. Where were we? What verse were I up to? Four. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night. I know when I was in a financial problem, the terrors in the night were the worst. Because I'd start thinking down these lines of, oh no, we're going to be, I'm going to go bankrupt. That was my scare. What happens when I go bankrupt? Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. I'll have to move away. We'll have to move to America where no one knows you. But nowadays they won't let you in at the moment. But yeah, those worries just come in the night. What are you going to do with them? You've got to arrest them. You've got to go, no, this is what the psalm says. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. For me, this whole thing is about thinking. The terrors of night are the things you think about at night. What do you think about? Why don't you start praying about those things? The terrors of day and arrows are things that, just come. You know how suddenly someone says something and you think, whoa, or that negative thought comes. So the enemy tries to influence you by just negative thoughts. Some of them you just sit there going, where does that come from? And we all have them. And you've got to go, hold on. No. I'm not going to be afraid of the arrows that fly in the night. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you. It's not that bad. 10,000. These evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Verse 9, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. Why don't you ask God to protect you wherever you go? It's a great prayer for at the moment. Protect me wherever you go. You know, and sometimes, you know, we go, I'd love to live in the Bible times. Man, some of that stuff would have been awesome to see. And, you know, you think about in Egypt when the plagues came. I don't think it was quite as exciting as that in one sense. What would you have been like? This is the same sort of thing. Pray on your over your house is just the same as the last of the 10 things that came, you know, the plague that came at night, took out all the firstborn of Egypt. They're praying there. God, protect our house.
Yeah.
So pray, protect our house. Protect my life.
Yeah.
Doing all right?
Yeah.
Doing great. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. We don't even have any of those things. Trant, oh well. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. You know, this creates an opportunity for you. You're going to have more opportunity to pray with people than you've ever had before.
Yeah.
Take the opportunity. Yeah. Step up. This is the moment where you can pray with people. Mate, you're not doing too well. Let me pray for that situation. Let me pray in this situation. You know, you have this opportunity. We have this opportunity to help some people. You know, I was thinking, what are the things that this creates? It creates the opportunity for you to care for someone. I think, as Christians, we should be the most caring. What does that mean? Well, that might mean that you'll make sure all your neighbours are okay. It might mean that I was going to today, my message I wanted to do was about the call of God. Because my understanding of the call of God is we're all called. And you are called to the place where you are today to be the answer to that place. You're called to be the pastor. I've just decided, and there's a few of us actually, that I've just decided in my gym that I'm the gym pastor. I'm the pastor at the gym. So anybody there that needs anything, I'm the pastor. There's a few of us there. There's a few other people in our gym. Good. So you're pastors too. But you're the pastor in your workplace. Look, we might not be able to gather, so it'll be you that'll have to pray for them. So you're the, hey, are you worried about someone? Let me pray for you. You're the pastor in you're the pastor in your home. You're the pastor of the street. You're the pastor there. Turn to the person and say, hello, pastor, whatever their name is. Pastor. Come on. You're the pastor. In your workplace, in school. You're the pastor of your school. I've just given you a title. Take it. Grab it. I'm pastor. Because you're the one who's going to make a difference in that thing. You get the opportunity. This is an opportunity to bring stability, to bring strength, to meet a need. What a great opportunity. Wow, this is an opportunity. Another psalm you can get is Psalm 112, verse 7. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord for him to care for them. They are confident and fearless. They can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered. They will have influence and honor. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of love, of power, and of self-discipline or sound mind. God has given you a sound mind. You know, a lot of times people go, oh, how are you doing? And most of the time I'm really good because my mind's in a good place. What's happening on the outside does not dictate to me how I feel. I'm not up and down by the flows of what's happening. It's inside. It's going, I trust God. I trust God. I trust Jesus. You know, often I'll close my eyes and go, where's Jesus now? Oh, he's right beside me. He's in front of me. He's making a way for me. He's protecting me from behind. I'm okay. I'm okay. God's got it under control. Isaiah 40, verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. For even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If you're struggling, if you're still in the zone where you're worrying, just take a moment and start waiting on God. You know, what happens when you wait on God is that I feel, for me, I get lifted out of the situation. You know, this talks about you soar on high on wings like eagles. What happens is that I get above the problem that I have or the situation that I'm facing. And I go, God, how do you see this? How do you see this? God, you're with me in this. This is okay. And then I find how I have strength for that situation. I have strength start to flow in. I have a confidence that everything's going to be all right. So I start singing, everything's going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Maybe the musicians can come. You're going to be all right. You know, there'll be people here and you don't know Jesus. You know, there are some things in the in Revelation, because I don't want people to be fearful, but there are some things in Revelation where it says a plague will take out one third of the earth. Yeah. Don't go read Revelation at the moment if you're a bit worried and a bit nervous. You know, I'm okay because I know, bottom line, I know that where I'm going. I know that God's got me. Amen. I know what happens when I die. I talked to a guy yesterday, you know, and we were talking about this, but he just said, you know, last year I was fine. I've got photos of me on a Friday having a great day, and the next day I had a brain hemorrhage and I'm in hospital about to die. He goes, in a moment, life can change like that. And you're okay if you know where you're going. If you know what's going to happen to you when you die, you have a peace. And if you're a Christian, you need to have that peace. That peace is that if anything happens to you, you're saved. Your eternity's set. You'll be in heaven when you die. And if you don't know that, you know, I'm not doing it to make you worried. I'm doing it to make you have a bit of a think, but then to go, God, I need you. We all need God. And this morning, I'd love everybody in this room to have a peace of what happens. And if you're fearful about what happens when you die, then the way to get peace is to ask Jesus to come into your life. That verse says it's beyond our understanding. I can't always logically, you know, understanding is about logically putting things together and being able to work it out. Do you know there's some things that I just can't work out? That peace sometimes I can't work out. Because, man, things are going really bad, but I've got this peace. It's a divine peace that comes from God. And it's for everyone. It's not just for, it's actually got nothing to do with what I'm like. It's got everything to do with what he's like. So good. And if you just ask him to come into your life, the Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of sins. Come into your life. If you ask him, come into my life, Lord. I need you to be my God, my Lord. Forgive me of all the wrong things I've done. And he does. And I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment, and maybe you're going, yeah, I don't know God. And, well, I want to introduce you this morning and give you that opportunity to ask him to come into your life and to know his peace. Many of the people here have done that, and they know. They can even remember that day because it was so distinct in their life where they suddenly felt the difference and that change. You can have that this morning. So everybody just close your eyes. I'm going to pray this prayer, and we're all going to pray it. If you're a Christian, then as you pray it, what I want you to do is I want you to imagine there's somebody that you know, maybe someone you work with or a friend or a family, and that you're praying this with them. This same prayer. It's a simple prayer. So just repeat after it. Dear God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you've called me. I thank you that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of all the wrong things I've done. Please come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Be the boss of my life. Thank you that you love me. Please give me peace. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just pray for you. Father, I just pray for each person here. Lord, those who have maybe just for the first time asked you in their life, Lord, I pray they'd know your peace. They know that you're faithful of your word, that you forgive, and that you come into their lives. Father, I pray for those that are Christians that are maybe worrying about things. Lord, I just pray this week they would pray. They would pray. They'd take it to you. They'd pray. They'd thank you. And they'd get peace, Father. And Lord, that every time we worry that we would pray. Father, we thank you that you've got everything under control. Lord, I pray you'd help each of us to take the opportunities that come this week to share you, to pray, to talk about why we feel confident and why we're okay. Holy Spirit, use us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.